Blog Talk Radio.
That Chad Even Shy, who was singing that song and on guitar, might be making an appearance back at All Poetry now and again. So shout if you are, look us up. I'd love to talk to you. Meanwhile, Shout was given the lyrics for that particular song by our colleague, Jay Hatter, who is possibly listening at this particular point from a hospital institution in the greater area of Sacramento. So we say, for God's sake, get better, Hatter, get out of the bloody hospital, get yourself well, and we can go back to normal transmission. Meanwhile, Deb is helping me out tonight. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm good. And this would, you know, we would normally have the pairing of Sweet P, of course, and myself, the remarkable Sweet and Dour, but that, of course, is on hold for this week. We've, you know, in the absence of Sweet, we've just got Dour, really, which is would be awful if Deb wasn't with us. So thank you, Deb, for being with us. And we just have some open poetry poems, and we have some bits and pieces that I've picked up along the way. And so I was keen to introduce you to another Australian poet, Deb, because I do this occasion, as you know.
Yeah, like when you
and so I sort of was looking because, you know, you sort of start with, you know, who my sort of thinking went to, well, okay, so I liked Banjo a lot. So who were his influences? And it's pretty easy to see that he was influenced by Rolf Boldrewood because he did the introduction to A Man from Snowy River. So clearly that was one of his influences and somebody that he looked up to. But in doing all of this, I actually came up with another character was an influence on Banjo Paterson, and even a bigger influence on Henry Lawson. And that was a gentleman called John Farrell that I'd never heard of before. And John Farrell was actually born in Argentina, which is where most good Australians start from. And he went to Melbourne early on in his life. And he with, of course, gold, because that's what everybody did in those days. They tried their hand at prospecting, and he went to farming, and then he travelled around Victoria and the Northern Territory and worked in breweries, of course, which is a perfect background to get into poetry. And that's what he did. He got into poetry, and then he got into writing, and he got some wonderful reviews, and away he went. So the piece that I've got, Deb, is from How He Died and Other Poems by John Farrell from 1887, and it comes from the State Library of New South Wales catalogue, so I'm going to put it up on the board in terms of the link, because there's not a lot of John Farrell poems out there to see. I'm going to have to get one of his books now, I've worked out. So this is one of the poems from the 1887 collection, How He Died and Other Poems by John Farrell, and it goes a little bit like this. It's called No. Full face to England we will speak our thought as brethren of their sons whose fathers stood, and writing Waterloo with all their blood paid the large wage when liberty was bought. We too are English of an equal heart with them that in the mighty battle gust bore down the one Napoleon to the dust while all the world looked on with lips apart. We have no records of a bygone shame, no redrit histories of woe to weep. God set our land in summer seas asleep till his fair morning for her waking came. In poem. Now, that's an ABBA poem.
Yeah,
difficult poem to write.
His rhyme pattern is really cool.
Difficult poem to write. Short poem too. Most of the poems he wrote were, God, 20 stanzas, and this one I found was short. But the little asterisk at the end there was that what actually happened was that there was a terrible murder in Ireland of two English folk, English ministers actually, and it was feared that the perpetrators of that crime had found their way to Australia. And so he was basically saying, if they're here, give up and we'll send them back. So that was the comment about the Phoenix Park monsters at the bottom. So an interesting little bit of history. But he was an activist. And he probably inspired Henry Lawson more than Banjo Paterson, to be honest, because Henry Lawson was an activist poet. And John Farrell was the sort of first of the activist poets in Australia. So just another influence that I sort of picked up, and I didn't know anything about John Farrell, so I thought I would put him on and do a quick read, Deb.
He's got an interesting, aside from the style, a way of wording. For example, and writing Waterloo with their blood. Right there, that stanza was probably, or that line in the stanza was probably pretty scandalous at the time. The image of the Waterloo written in blood is potent. But I really like that middle stanza there, especially the last two lines, bore down the one Napoleon to the dust while all the world looked on us lips apart, like, you know, chins down in shock. He's got some brilliant wording.
He has, doesn't he? He just something about it. I liked that he came to poetry late. Something about that, you know. I liked that he had a full life, and so there you go. So,
not to mention the fact that he could get his point across with extreme class and not happen to be overly in-your-face political. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do know what you mean. There's a subtlety about it, isn't it? I like the subtlety. So, and the lack of length. Every Australian poet at that time was writing 20 verses
yeah.
at a time.
Definitely, compared to Banjo, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, thank God for that. You know, we've actually got something that you know, I can read in that 3 flat. So, anyway, there you go. So that's John Farrell. I'll be on the lookout now for John Farrell books because he wrote about 4 of them. Not nearly as famous as Banjo or Henry, but very influential. So there you go. So I turn down the board to do the poems that had been put in as SoundClouds for us. And we have a poem by Iris Morris, and I thought we'd do that first.
Cool.
Okay, here we go. This is coming up. Where are we? Try to put my right frame up here. It's The Pirate's Log by Iris Morris, and it is on now.
Sunset dips below ship's bow. Just had this evening's chow. Here boat's cat with its low meow. In walks Teach with low furrowed brow. A Spanish galleon we're in pursuit. Treasure it holds, there's no dispute. Ours for the taking, all that loot. 12-pounders loaded, ready to shoot. Wind at 20 from the west. Ship we're trailing, caps obsessed. We'll be brutal, this seafaring contest. It will be our greatest conquest. The King's Navy is on its way. We're all based by Nassau's Bay. They've taken Port Royal to our dismay. All human decency we did betray. The galleon is ours after tonight. See how much they put up a fight. Must make sure it doesn't ignite. If we win, we're rich come morning light. A long road, this journey of ours. Spent many a day in ship's towers. Wood moaning during nighttime hours. Showed many a galleon our ship's powers. As privateers, we rose up the ranks, now called pirates by English Yanks. Many a ship's captains walked our planks, failed 2 forts along the water's banks. Captain now yelling, broadside, cannon doors now open wide. Load muskets, boatswain cried, another load of bounty, Spain is denied.
Well, there we go. It's a full story for us, Deb, and we do have somebody on hold. So, hello and welcome to 270. How are you, 270?
Wayne.
Is that you, Wayne? Come on in, Wayne.
Hey, here I am.
Can't hear you, though.
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, I can't hear before, but I hear now.
That was a wonderful poem about pirates. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good fun, wasn't it? It was, he has a voice. He has a voice, right? And it's like you're hearing somebody who does this for a living. You know, it's just
right.
it sort of sounds like the voice of National Geographic. You know what I mean? It just
right.
comes.
What do you mean? He's got a perfect voice. He's got a smooth voice. Smooth.
He has. He has. Just
he talks.
Brilliant.
His poetry's really cool. I tell you, he does a good job writing his poetry too. It's got an extra excellent cadence.
I agree with you. I really liked it. Deb, what did you think of RS and Pirates?
You know, you were touching on what I was thinking. He has this way of the narration that, yeah, he could be like on National Geographic. But I think that he's so dedicated to putting history to poetry that it's impressive. And I mean, his collection of informational narratives is like phenomenal. And he always does it with class and dignity and vests you in each one. And it's like he doesn't just sit down and throw some stuff together. It's always factual and historic. And he does a great job with his recordings and stuff, too. I think that if his voice was reading some of the stuff to us in school, it might have been a little more interesting. He's that good
yes.
at presenting them, you know?
Yeah.
And this was really great.
No, I agree. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think people listen and learn from things that are entertaining and that, you know, have a story, as Wayne said. And oftentimes history can come across a bit dry, but never in R.S. Morris's hands. It just sort of, you know, comes across as sort of life of daring do. It's really quite cool. So thank you for putting that piece on the board, R.S. It's appreciated. Now, Wayne, I believe that you have a SoundCloud that you have got to share with us. Is that correct?
Yes, I do have a SoundCloud. Yes,
okay.
Sir, I do.
I will copy it onto the board and just hopefully I get the right one, but let's see how we go. And hello to Frank out there who's listening. So as I spoke to the rain, so let me go see if this is the right one. Here we go, Wayne. Here we go.
This poem is called, As I Spoke to the Rain. The rain that came that spoke to my soul, told of times that quenched my need to know. Listen as the whispers fell from trees, a gentle tap to put my mind at ease. Cool and calm, the steady voice I heard as I let the rain have the last word. The dirt and grime has now all but gone, with a rhythm much like a tender song. We talked and smiled, rain ran down my face, licked my lips, think what a clean taste. And as the rain departed, I waved at the wind, said goodbye to my wonderful friend. My tears mixed with many puddles shed, while remembering the word rain said. I'll see you later as I pass by, but for now, there's not a cloud in the sky. Yeah. Ian?
That's fun. I like that. I like you start with the rain. I see the passing by, and I like it finishes with no clouds. And I like the music you chose. It's got a lovely sort of sense and feel to it, and you know, you get me every time you put a harmonica in something, let me tell you. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really cool, really smooth. Deb, what do you think?
Well, for starters, I really love the first two lines. The rain that came has spoke to my soul, told of times that quenched my need to know. Pretty clever there. Cool and calm, the steady voice I heard as I let the rain have the last word. I really like the rhyme and the wording here. And there's a sadness in the third stanza. We talked and smiled. Rain ran down my face, licked my lips, thinking, what a clean taste. And as rain departed, waved with wind, said goodbye to my wonderful friend. And I just felt sort of like it wasn't just another goodbye. It was maybe a final goodbye, and I felt really sad there. Awesome piece. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, great. Great job. Well, I said really, really liked the poem. Really liked the way that you worked the sound card too. In the sense that you took your time. A lot of people rush and hurry through poems, and you sort of had the music sort of giving you the sort of time signature. But then you just eased through the poem. It was terrific. Really liked it.
Right. The music slows me down quite a bit. I need to have music, or I go crazy.
No. But you know what they say is you do what you do. You do what you have to do in order to get it to work. Yeah. But it just I just really loved it. Right? So thank you.
Cool beans. Thank you. What about it?
No. It was great fun. I enjoyed. Now I see that none other than Mr. Hatter has been on the board, Deb. Placing one of his poems there, which I'm suggesting means that he wants me to read it, I would think, all things being equal. So shout out to Hatter. Obviously you're still awake, and I hope that you're in as good a shape as you can be. So this is a poem by Jay Hatter, What Could All This Mean? And it goes a little bit like this. The dawn showed oceans that were half full. The rivers dropped to a stream. The mountains ate the glacier ice. What could all this mean? They all assumed we began at noon, but it's already after three. What started as even was never the reason to scare the hell out of me. If you start when convenient and can't see the line, don't point your finger like it's the sign of the times. What's written is skewed, there's nothing new, we can only guess what's in store. Don't say it's dying when no one is trying, we can't take it anymore. In bond. I think you might have heard this one before, Deb.
Yeah, it's on one of my lists. But it's got the trademark Hatter flow and his like rhyme pattern. Yeah.
It does. Absolutely does.
It's really awesome. And Hatter, I know you're listening. You better not be near that window.
Easy.
Just saying.
Exactly right. You've got to be listening to instructions, Hatter, as hard as that is. Wayne, what did you think of our friend who is carefully listening to the instructions he has given?
Oh, well, he's got a great poem here. It's in Hatter rhyme. His internal rhyme is wonderful in this poem, too. Great message. Mm-hmm. He's got great messages to the poem, too. He did a good job. He's always around. He got some good lines in here, too, that are wonderful, like the one he said, what started as even was never the reason to scare the hell out of me. It's a great little line there. He did good all the way through. It's a good poem all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's one I enjoy it.
He's always got it covered, the sort of internal rhyme.
He's good at poetry. He does a good job as his pages and his rhyme, and keeps you interested too. He's always got something to say that's interesting. Good job.
He does. He tends to curl it at some point, doesn't he? So anyway, there you go. Now, Deb, did you have a piece that you wanted to share with us today?
I did. Actually, I enter a lot of Skye's contests. She starts a lot of contests from her own personal photography. And
yes.
I don't know, this one, for some reason, this picture took me in a direction, and this turned out to be actually one of my favorites that I've ever written in Skye's Shutter Button Poetry Contest, and I enter a lot of them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I did put on the board, didn't I?
Okay, cool.
Yes, there it is. Okay.
Yep.
And this is called To Thank the Bird for His Striped Feather. And here we go. This letter is written to the bird, the one that dropped the feather from the sunlit sky at dawn. A feather landed by the hedges at the koi pond in the lawn. I picked that quill up in the grass. Then this tail began to spawn. A journal of the newborn fawn with the deer out supping and drink. Written with your striped quill dipped in my periwinkle ink. Tales of the white-tailed mama and freckled daughter at her side, playing with two silver squirrels that climbed on her back for a ride. To sparge the acorns for supper, food that Mother Earth supplied. Prancing by the sycamore saplings to the grove of oak and sequoia trees, eight lace-winged butterflies are spied surfing the air on the morning breeze, hopping on the milkweed blossoms, sharing breakfast with pollinator bees. Every day this crew meets up outside, so I grab your feathers, scribble lines, writing anecdotes of the wildlife critters sniffing perfume from the honeysuckle vines. 3 years passed, and they visit every spring. Blue songbirds sing and the flowers bloom. But this year, on the backyard visit to see me, Mama Deer chaperones her daughter's groom. Her buck stands at the edge of the apple orchard, guarding the grandchild she'd stopped by to show. It's not for the feather that you dropped, Mr. Bird. I may not have seen the family from the fields grow. Thank you, Mr. Bird, for leaving the striped feather. End poem.
That's kind of cute. I like that a lot. It sort of starts with sort of almost, this could sound strange, Deb, but bear with me. It's almost like you've got the lawnmower and you're kick-starting it at the start, and it sort of stutters its way into deadness. And what I mean by that is written with your striped quill dipped in my periwinkle ink. And then I think, oh, okay, we're in a dead poem here. And then down it goes. And it gets more and more Deb as it goes down, you know, with, you know, those chips and the trees and the descriptions of things. And you sort of think, yeah, okay, there's the butterflies, tick, you know. And there's all honeysuckle, tick, you know. It's just really, it's so sweet. And the reason that you went there in the first place was because of the feather, which was really kind of funky. So I liked it a lot.
Thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, like I said, I don't say that too often, but this is one of my favorites I've ever written for her.
Yeah.
It's because of that whimsy, I think. How can you read that?
Yeah, it does.
Smile, you know?
Yeah, it's very sort of oldie-fashioned English. It's almost like A.A. Milne, in a way. It's sort of got that sort of lovely sense to it.
I wish the quill belonged to me. She lived such a wonderful life and a personality that the quill felt like it was part of my body. It had a warm feeling about it. And the reader was immaculate. It had great color, great descriptions, and great flow. I love the motions of the warmth of this poem. You made it feel so cozy and warm. It was just a great, great read and a great poem. Good job, there, Deb.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, we should probably do another one of the poems that we got sent to us, Deb. So I'm thinking, because Frank's been on the board, we might grab Frank's poem and put it up next. So I do have a SoundCloud for that. So just bear with me while I grab the poem, Frank, put it up on the board, and then I will do the poem itself. So it's up on the board. Now, this is The Premature Burial by Poetic Picasso, and, of course, it goes a bit like this.
I suffer from an acute form of horrible rigidity called catalepsy, a death-like trance that is my crippling phobia to be buried alive, the condition that haunts me in my incessant phantoms of nightmares, a stygian chamber visible, and my recurring fears and dubiety. Upon a somber day of this that I shall never forget its true terror, I'd awaken to discover my body in a casket of pitch darkness, all alone with no way to escape the suffocating lack of air. Missing, I began to gasp my fading breath. The sheer panic that seized me. I bolted on the casket open to free myself afterwards, screaming vociferously for someone to hear my desperate cry for help. But no one, not even a wandering soul, it had seemed, was listening. For I was, I thought, within the awful serpent's clutch of my dreadful death. The agonist minute had stalled to become evaporating seconds, and I was covered in the melting moisture of my profound sweat. My veins felt like bursting in my beating heart, thumbed, enthumbed. As the flight of madness had overtaken my gripping sanity, folding at the seams. I had attempted to make me believe this was only a surreal episode, even though death was consuming me inside its powerful hold, causing a sound of thunder roared, the drops of rain striking the casket, and I took what I thought was to be my final breath of life upon the earth. Suddenly I had heard the pecking of a powerful beak of a creature who perforated a continuous hole that had been made thenceforth by the torn slivers of the wood and the whistling wind bustling fast. It was a lone sable raven that had stared into my bulging eyes. I was saved at last and had clawed my way out to rise upon the soil. Yes, yes, alive! The raven croaked and flew away, to be seen thus nevermore. The boundaries which divide life from death are at best shadowy and vague. Who shall say where one ends and where the other begins? In the poem.
We had the full sort of crazed laugh at the end there. It wasn't just a part crazed laugh, it was a full sort of 10-15 second crazed laugh. But I'm very glad Ali's not with us because that would have scared the heck out of her. That was quite dark. That was quite dark. I've got to say, it was quite dark and it was quite sort of, what's the right word? It just had presence. Yeah, it was dark, but it had presence and it just sort of kept on at you through the whole poem. What did you think, Wayne?
I said it's like Poe means it's a poem like, you know, he had a story about the guy getting buried alive, and this took my breath away. And his reason is I keep losing my breath because he's in the conference saying, "Breathe, man, breathe." And so it was cool. It was kind of scary, like you said, dark. Let me out of here. Let me out. And I don't mean in the coffin.
Yeah,
it
was
bad in the coffin.
Yeah, it felt really sort of enclosing, didn't it? It was really interesting. Yeah, I agree. The words he used were such like that. Anyway, Deb, what did you think?
Well, I remember this from the Poe show at Poetic Slice, and like these are perfect for his dramatic reading style, And that that laugh is always so viciously dastardly that it's like the last nail hammered in on a spooky rite. His details and stuff in here were really, really awesome, because it's a horrifying thought to be, you know, you get that claustrophobic feeling, and it's also pitch black, and then you realize that you're buried underground, and it's just, like, horrifying. So that horrifying feel of that premature burial thought is definitely expressed well in his poem.
Absolutely. It's just a style that I can't do it, Deb. I have tried to do really hard, sort of dark sort of poetry, and it's just not something I can sort of get my head around. It just takes a certain, I don't know what it takes, maybe you have to talk to me about it sometime, but really I don't have it. But it really has a presence, and just to get yourself in that sort of headset to be able to do it is quite something. So very well done. Okay, well, change of tone, Deb. I've got a piece by Phil the Poet, who is our group member out of England, but sort of via Russia in a way. So be interesting to see what he's got for us. And his piece is up on the board now at What Price Oh Madness, and so I'm going to do the SoundCloud right now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called At What Price Oh Madness. Tell me, my insane friend, at what cost do I endure this suffering, striving for the perfect poem? At what price, oh madness? Have I overstepped the boundaries, crossed the line from creativity to insanity, to suffer the slings and arrows of misfortune? At what price, oh madness? Surely there's no turning back. Society has already labelled me a strange fool thinking he's a poet. Why should I suffer this, oh madness? Talk to myself, but I'm just quoting poetry, seeking inspiration from ancient texts, but people think I'm mumbling nonsense. Why should I suffer this, oh madness? Embracing the fool I've turned into, with wild eyes, I live the artist's dream, dissolving the ink into my veins. Come to me, oh madness. The world I have created is filled with poetic words and syllables. In dramatic prose I deliver the words, come to me, O madness. Engulfed in insanity's final throes, draining the source of all sanity from my paper clouds in mind, come and kiss me, O madness. Let me drown in your dark passion, feel your electric pulses run down my cranium, as I long for the taste of your insanity. Come and kiss me, oh madness.
Thank you, Phil. And interestingly there, we've sort of got a sort of form poem, Deb, where we've got a final refrain, for want of a better word, that has the same final two words, but the words in front rotate around four times in the stanzas as you go down, and that I think gives us a nice sense of the of what Phil's trying to do with the poem. Anyway, what did you think, Deb?
I think that the repeat, it's like those voices that you keep hearing. At what price? So madness. Mm-hmm. Why should I suffer this? Oh, madness. It's really cool. The world I have created is filled with poetic words and syllables and dramatic prose. I deliver the words. Come to me. Oh, madness. There's something about that. I agree that the form here is really awesome. and it drives that madness all the way through. And I love the title, At What Price? Oh, Madness. Really, really cool work. Quite different, but I like it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's quite interesting. What did you think, Wayne?
Well, this is a great point. I can't help but tie it with what's happening in the world today. You know, it's with all the stuff going on that's going on overseas. But it works in perfect with that theme. And I don't want to tie it together too close, but I can't help it. But by reading that, it just brings it right together, what's going on over there to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of great point. Great point.
I agree.
I don't want to make a mountain out of molehill. Good point.
No, I agree with you. It's a very, very clever poem if you think about it in that context. Now, Deb, I believe we had a poem sent in by Mobella that she asked you to read. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I know she's listening. And I just want to say, hey, Bella. Always an honor to read for you, hon. And, okay. This poem is called Before It's Too Late by Mibella. There is a sempiternal ache coiled around my shuddering soul, bandaged with temporary aid, slowly emancipating memories, annihilating whatever is left in me. Not even the clacking clock can settle my jagged edges. Time, the culprit of happiness, theirs, them, his. Those I have touched, withered. Each moment evanescing, like peppered eggshells from a broken hourglass fading along with the wind. As I sit there pacifying my waning breath, I learn to harness my composure, freezing every split second, tasting my misted ego, placing shutters on my sight, trying to forget how it feels, having his name clipped around my lip while imbibing the rusted fluid from our dear Olden. The truth is, every minute, every given breath is one step at a time for me. And before my flesh transforms into dandelion seeds pirouetting above mosaic clouds, before it's too late, take me back to his soul. Allow me to whisper my te amo for the last time. Bless me his moist breath. Take me away. Dry my begging eyes. Alleviate my aches before.
There we go. Thank you, Deb. Great read. Bella, you always write amazingly well. You choose your words cleverly. You choose your phrasing particularly and how you put your stanzas together to create the mood that you're seeking, and I think this is a great example of your writing. Wayne, what did you think?
I think this is a great point, but it seems like she's really open about her feelings about a relationship that has passed by someone that has probably passed on, and she's wanting one more time just to be back with that person for one more second before she goes on to the next world. Very sad. It's sad, and it's a lonely type poem. Read it real well, and then she and Deb did a great job reading it. I mean, it's a very good poem, but there's a lot of sadness in it.
No, I agree with you completely. Deb, what did you think as you were reading?
Well, there were so many parts that were like, they grab you, and I feel I had to push myself to go on to the next part because I want to sit in that moment for a minute, like each moment evanescing like peppered eggshells from a broken hourglass fading along from the wind. Or was that placing shutters on my sight, trying to forget how it feels having his name clipped around my lip. And then we go into end before my flesh transforms into dandelion seeds pirouetting above mosaic clouds. That part got me before my flesh transforms into dandelion seeds. That's an incredible metaphor. But it just really grabbed me. And then take me back to his soul, allow me to whisper my Ti amo. Only Bella this, and she's got one of those distinctive styles where when you're finished reading a Bella poem, you know you just did, and you're quite often overwhelmed by the emotion that she portrayed in her lines. And again, I say it's always an honor to be her reader.
No, well, thank you. Thank you sincerely, Bella, for joining the show tonight and for giving your poem to Deb to read. And I hope that you are as well as you can be where you are and as happy as you can be as well. So thank you for joining us. And just for you, Bella, just for you, because I know you're a ridiculous romantic at heart, I will put a small poem of mine up, because why not, Deb? This is Sweet Shadow. It goes a little bit like this. Within her world of flesh and grey, my eyes, they remain sated, uncurls as a tulip off a blood stray, slow movements anticipated. A hand keeps her wolf at bay. There are clouds upon a peak. Wild frost swirl as storms array those caverns and valleys I seek. For there are weeks until the day that we meet in arms embrace. And until then, a calendar way, while her sheet's shadow I trace in poem.
Oh, cool. A hand keeps her wolf at bay. There are clouds upon a peak. With frost swirl, storms array those caverns and valleys I seek. Amazing stanza right there. Another three stanza gem, and my guess is the inspiration is identical, by the photo anyway. Calendar way, while her sweet shadow I trace. I love that, while her sweet shadow I trace. Bringing us back to that title. Awesome piece, awesome brevity.
Thank you, Deb. I'm in a brevity mode at the minute. Seems to be coming out okay. Wayne, what did you think of this little brevity?
Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful read. You did a great job. It's a great read. I can't find a room. I've been trying to find a room and find a poem. I can't find it. I've been looking at all the places to read. I can't find a room, so I can get to read it. It's probably wrong, long, but I heard you read it. It's a great poem, and that's about all I can say right now until I get to read it over again. I just can't find a room.
No, that's fine. It's just the sort of poem I thought that Bella would appreciate, because it's a simple, small, romantic poem, you know? It's as simple as that. Anyway, so I just, Bella, I just thought, you know, why not, as they say in the classics. So I think we've got one left, Deb, which is Stephen's poem. And I kind of like the symmetry of having Stephen at the end, because normally he's at the front whenever time, you know, I have him on the show. We have to sort of run through, and this time we've been able to put him at the end, and as I said, I kind of like the idea behind this. So this is Prince of a Thousand Enemies by Stephen 76, and it goes a little bit like this.
The painting of the rabbits in the snow was the inspiration for this poem, and the picture made me think of the book Watership Down, so that's the route I took, and I call this Prince with a Thousand Enemies by Stephen 76. prince with 1,000 enemies flitting through the ivory snow. Glittering flakes of frosted rain trickle through the full moon's glow. Doddering muscle propels through drifts, eluding bobcat claw. Tunneling beneath the crystal ice, evading dog's sharp jaw. Lord Frith has closed his eyes for now, so use your instincts cunning. El Arara has taught you well to sidestep farmer's gunning. Slide neath split rail fencing or through the barren thistle. Keep one eye upward, up towards the night sky, harking eagle's whistle. Gleaning food so hard to find when earth is covered ice linen. Scurry back to where it's warm in depths of dugout warren. Every day is quite the same, outsmarting talons and teeth, until Lord Frith does take you home, where you will be at peace. End poem.
There you go. There was a whole heap of stuff I didn't know about rabbits there, Stephen, that you actually shared with us. Firstly, the Lord Frith, the rabbit word for the sun, which was God, the El Arahara, which was a legend in rabbit lore. I had no idea. And it's a great painting. I really like the painting too. And written for a specific word contest too. So you had to actually get to it exactly 125 words. So I don't know how you managed that with that piece, but you did. Wayne, what did you think of Stephen's piece?
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful poem. It's Watership Downs is one of my favorite all-time favorite books that I've read. I've always thought it was one of my greatest ones. And when he read the sign, had to leave the little community and all the adventures they went through. He did a good job with the poem, covering part highlights of the book. But it is a wonderful book, wonderful story, and he did a good job with it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. And Deb, what did you think?
I thought that he did really clever with some of the stuff here, like where'd it go? Tunneling beneath the crystal ice, evading dog, sharp jaw. The image there was really spot on. Slide neath split rail fencing or through the barren thistle. Keep one eye towards night sky, harking eagle's whistle. His rhyme was clever. Harking eagle's whistle, really cool. Scurry back to where it's warm in depths of dugout warren. Every day is quite the same, outsmarting talons and teeth, until Lord Frith does take you home, where you can be at peace. So, you know, eventually you wind up going home for that peace, but you're fighting that dog all the way. And I liked the reference to the rabbits and all. It plays good with the art, but it plays excellent with the Watership Down. So it was a clever combo deal there. And I just realized it's one of his 10, and he's at 302. So now I'm going to have to investigate and find out what number 10, 300 was, because I was counting down to it and I totally missed it. How about that? At last I saw it, 295.
Caller. Yeah, I've got a caller. Hello, 916. How are you?
Hey.
Hey, hey. Just got my pen.
Hey. Out the window.
I'm good.
Well, that's true. You're talking to us, Hatter. If you're talking to us, you're not out of window. In. That is good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I got. I took a picture of the window, Deb.
Did you really? Yeah.
And I asked, and it goes nowhere.
Seems like the nurse has been in with something better than just Jell-O, huh?
Well, I beat him off with a stick, as you would say.
Don't even go there, either.
Here we go. Clearly, there's been some criminal druggery, in there. Death would be my summary.
Oh, the stories.
He's sounding far too good. Sounding far too happy, Adder. That's all I can say. That those nurses you might be fighting off, but you're not fighting off the drugs. So.
He's flashing his butt to the nurses too.
Nah.
Well, they sort of put me up in their little clubhouse room. I think they're just keeping me overnight. Then decided they're going to keep me more than overnight, and I'm already bivouacked in here. I got I think this is a little
good. Well, I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing.
Yes, I got a window that goes nowhere.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You got a window, though. That's better than not having
yes,
a window.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yes.
Big concrete wall.
Be grateful for small things, Hatter. You know.
I am. Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, having your own room's a big thing at the minute. You know, they won't have a lot of them, so you've done well.
So grateful for the itch I have right now because it's morphine based. Yeah.
There you go. Beautiful thing. Well, Hattie, you've joined us right at the end, which is not a bad thing, by the way, because we have gone through the reading list, including yours, and you joined us and on the board, and we went and put that out there, and I read it. So there you go. We a series of sound clouds by R.S. Morris and by Stephen 76 and by Frank and by
cool.
What else did we have? We had Phil, the poet, and of course we had Wayne. And Wayne was with us for most of the time. He just dropped. So thank you, Wayne, for being with us. And we had Wayne through the whole thing, which is always helpful. Always nice to have a few people around to throw comments and things to. Hatter, if you've only got a couple of people. Yeah, you only got a couple of people that tends to, be difficult on those couple of people because you're basically just sort of going between the two of you. I think, three works really well. So my thanks to Wayne for hanging out with us this afternoon. And I think we did pretty well. Deb, what do you think?
Oh, I do. We had a nice variety of poems. We fit them all in about that hour like we planned, and we got to talk to Hatter, too.
Yep.
What could be better than that?
Yeah, we did.
Right down to the hour.
You know. Yeah, perfect. So, given that I really liked this song the other day when I played it, I'm going to play it again, Hatter. So I'm going to go out to the theme. Something only we know. This strong, A minor, piano-driven sort of song, which in 4/4, which only got to about number 60 in the US, and they got to about number 30 in the UK, but then everybody seems to know its words. I don't know how that works, but anyway, it's a great sing-along song. Somewhere Anywhere. Here we go. Well, with a bit of luck, you'll see us back, Deb, Hatter and myself are home tomorrow. So same bat time, same bat channel. Bye, everybody. Have a good evening.
Love and respect.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter. Rest good.